Matthew 26, starting in verse number 26, I'll read down through verse 30. And as they were eating, this of course is while they were eating the Passover together in the upper room, Jesus with his disciples, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. This is one of the gospel passages that describes, from Matthew's vantage point in remembrance and the way the Holy Spirit chose to write it through him, what we call the Lord's table or communion. Some people call it the Eucharist. There's a variety of different terms used to describe it. But it's a time of celebration, a time of commemoration and remembrance. The Lord Jesus very clearly said, "Remember me. Do this ceremony, for lack of a better word. Do this act of remembrance to remember me." Now, it's kind of interesting and kind of prodding to us to realize we have to be reminded. Something so vital, something so important, something so unique and extraordinary, something so precious, yet we need to be reminded. God, realizing our weakness, realizing our frailties, in a display of grace and mercy, gave us something to help us remember. To remember the Lord Jesus and what he did and who he was. We've looked in the past at the bread, which was the first one mentioned. Take the bread, this is my body. And we looked at that the last time we celebrated communion. Tonight I would like us to look at the wine, which represents the blood. And in examining it, I'd like us to just consider three things, not in any great depth, but just to help pull our thoughts together and remember the Lord Jesus. First of all, it is a communion. Secondly, it is a commemoration. And third, it's a covenant. And just briefly look at those three, and then we will celebrate the Lord's table. First of all, it's communion. Communion is the coming together in a common ceremony, a common act of worship, something that we share together, a common union with Christ. We have a union with Christ that is individual, and yet we share it together because we are all alike members of the Lord's body. So we are individuals, yes, but yet we are also part of the body, so that there is a common union with Christ, our Lord and Savior. So there is this commonness that we have together in Christ. And so as we celebrate and remember the Lord's death by way of partaking of the elements of the Lord's table, there is this commonness that we share together. And we show and demonstrate to one another our union with Christ. And that is encouraging to us together. It is a common union with Christ and with one another. It is a union that we have together. Second thing I'd like to mention, just by way of remembrance, a reminder, this is a commemoration. This is to cause us to remember something. Before we remind ourselves of what it is we are to remember, I would remind you of the fact, because it is a remembrance, it has no saving merit. I was watching television this morning in our motel and happened upon a church service that was of a Catholic church celebrating Mass, in which the priest held up the bread into the air and prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to make the bread and the wine into the body of Christ. No, it doesn't become the body and blood of Christ. This is a remembrance. These are symbols. They are reminders to us. And they're reminders to us of the death of Christ, the death of the Lord Jesus, in which he suffered, and he suffered a death that he did not deserve on his own. He certainly suffered a death he deserved because he took upon us our guilt. He took upon himself your guilt of sin, my guilt of sin, and as a substitute, he suffered what he deserved as the substitute. But certainly not because of himself. There was no sin in Christ. He was the sinless sacrifice. He was the sinless substitute, taking the place of sinners like you and me. And that death that he died and the suffering that he endured, you and I deserve. And more beside. We deserve an eternal separation from God. Yet, because Christ became our substitute, he paid that penalty that we might stand clean before the Father. So it is a commemoration. It is a reminder to us of the death of Christ and the shedding of his blood. That's what we particularly emphasize tonight in examining the wine. That represents his blood. His blood was shed. It was spilt. It was given up. It wasn't just a broken body. Yes, he had a broken body. It was beaten and bruised. But there was also the shedding of blood. And there was the shedding of blood from the crown of thorns that was placed upon his head. There was the blood came from his back as they beat him. There was the blood that came out of his side as a soldier standing nearby drove a spear into his side. And the scriptures tell us outflowed blood mixed with water. Yes, he shed his blood. And it was altogether fitting and right that he shed his blood in order to be a proper sacrifice. We not only remember the fact that Christ died for us, but we remember his person. If Christ had not lived a perfect life, he could not have been the substitute. He had to live the life that he lived in order to die the death he died. And the life that he lived qualified him for the death that he died. Now think about those truths for a moment. He was sinless. He was spotless. He was deity in human flesh, a mystery which we cannot fathom and fully understand. There was no sin or guilt within Christ at all. And because there was none, he could then be the perfect substitute. He could then satisfy God's demands. So the life that he lived qualified him for the death that he died. And the death that he died qualified us for the life that he lived. Now think about that one for a moment. because the righteousness of Christ is imputed to you and to me. Those of us who come to faith in Christ, that's part of the transaction. Not only is our sin paid for, washed away, forgiven, pardoned, explicated, covered, but at the same time, the righteousness of Christ is accredited to us, so that we now stand before Christ. How complete? As complete as Christ. That complete. And the life that Christ lived qualified him for the death that he died. And the death that he died qualifies us for the life that he lived, which was a perfect, sinless life. And we stand before God complete in Christ, we're told. Colossians chapter 2, I believe it is. For ye are complete in Christ. And we celebrate that. We remember that. And we give thanks for that to a Heavenly Father who in mercy and grace sent provision for sinners like you and me. And we give thanks to a Father who sent His Spirit to open our eyes to see it and to trust Christ. And we give thanks to Christ, especially for His obedience. Scriptures tell us He learned obedience by the things that He suffered. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, the Scriptures say. And He did it for sinners like you and me. And we give Him thanks for that. And we remember and we commemorate His death and His works, the completeness of His transaction on our behalf. Third, it represents a covenant. The blood is the seal of a covenant. Covenants, almost without exception, had some kind of a seal, some kind of a sign that was done that finalized the covenant between the parties. Sometimes it was a stamp on a document. Sometimes it was the giving of a right shoe. Sometimes it was just a handshake. But there was some kind of a sign that was given between the parties that kind of closed the deal, if you will. Finalized the terms of the covenant and made it official. In the Old Testament, it was blood. Only the blood in the Old Testament was the blood of bulls and goats and calves and sheep and birds and various other kinds of offerings that God in His mercy gave to Israel, that in partaking in those sacrifices and bringing them to the temple and to the altar and giving those sacrifices, that might atone for their sin. And it did, for a short time. Because you see, they had to sacrifice repeatedly. There was no bull or goat or lamb that once sacrificed did it completely. They had to sacrifice repeatedly, continuously, in order to cover their sin before God. And we read in Exodus chapter 24, when Moses had written the law down that God gave to him, it says he sealed it with the blood of the covenant. And that blood was the blood of the bull that was sacrificed on the altar. And he took the blood and he sealed the book of the covenant. So even in the Old Testament, the covenant was sealed with blood. And even in the Old Testament, man was saved, his sin was covered by a substitute. And the substitute was a lamb, a goat, a bull, a bird. And if you were really poor, some other means that God provided for them, even the poorest, to to bring to cover as a substitute for their sin. So even in the old covenant that we see throughout all of the Old Testament, it was blood. It was a substitute. And those offerings that were a substitute were all a picture of the one day coming substitute who would finalize it all in himself, once and for all. But that was the Old Testament. When we come to the New Covenant, which Jesus talks about here, drink of the wine, because this is the seal of my New Covenant, a New Testament. Now, this New Covenant wasn't just all of a sudden appearing in the New Testament, what we call the New Testament, but in fact, the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 31 foretold, God speaking through him, God said through his prophet Jeremiah, I will make a new covenant with you. And this new covenant will be such that I will place my law within your heart, and you will walk in my ways. And what did Christ do? When he formed and provided the new covenant, we read in Romans chapter 8 that man being weak in the flesh, and what he could not do, God sent his Son that he might fulfill the righteousness of the law, that those who then trust and rely upon the Holy Spirit, who walk in the Spirit, might then fulfill the righteousness of the law through Christ. The new law written upon your heart, and ye shall walk in my ways. Jesus Christ, the full provision. And we find him mentioning it here in the celebration of the blood. This is the seal of the new covenant. The new covenant was also based upon blood, just as the Old Testament was. The new covenant was based upon a substitute, just like the Old Testament covenant was based upon a substitute. Only this time, we have a far different substitute, and we have a far greater efficacious blood than the blood of bulls and of goats. We have the blood of the perfect sacrifice, the Lord Jesus himself. So as we look at the sacrifice of Christ, it was to fulfill a covenant. And his blood was the seal of that covenant, a fulfillment of prophecy, a provision for you and for me and for all who will trust in Christ, a one-time, once-and-for-all sacrifice that paid the penalty of the guilt of our sin. I'd like to read a few verses from Hebrews chapter 9, which ties these two together. I'll read them all. I might make a couple of comments along the way, but pretty much without comment, because there are a number of verses, and I want to read them because they tie them together so clearly and open our eyes to see what this new covenant is that the Lord Jesus sealed with his own blood and provided for us. Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 1, it says, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. That's the holy place of the Old Testament tabernacle. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. That was the second part of the tabernacle. In the back, had a veil in front of it to divide the two different sections of the tabernacle. It's called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, on which we cannot now speak particularly. In other words, I'm not going to go into it right now in detail, he says. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, the holy place, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second part, the holiest of holies, went the high priest, just the high priest, alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, which as the first tabernacle was still standing. It hadn't been done away with yet. This was temporary. It's a picture. It's a picture of the heavenly tabernacle, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, not of that then standing tabernacle, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of a new testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Well, we could read on more about it, but that shows you how it ties together. The Old Covenant, the Old Testament, was blood by a substitute that pardoned and paid for sins on a temporary basis. It wasn't lasting, was temporary, had to be done repeatedly for a person to stand right before God. And you read through the Old Testament and the prophets, and they're crying out to the people, and the thing that he always called them back to is, you must go back to the sacrifice. You must return back and offer sacrifices that are pleasing and acceptable unto God because of your sin. Over and over and over again, you read that from the prophets. Because they've forsaken them. Temporary. Oh, but the blood of Christ that we celebrate tonight and remember especially, once for all, never to be done again, satisfied God and his righteous, holy demands, and as a substitute for sinners, gave his blood into the holy of holies of the heavenlies, made the payment for sinners like you and me. And those of us who have trusted him find that true in our lives, don't we? How he has forgiven us. And we feel his pardon and sense that communion with him, because he is ours and we are his. Well, I pray the Spirit of God will take these simple yet profound in many respects truths about the blood of Jesus and how it satisfied God and sealed the new covenant, that we might stand before God clean, complete, forgiven, righteous. Righteous in the righteousness of Christ, not my own, his righteousness. The death that he died qualifies us for the life that he lived. Thank you, Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that pure, spotless life that you lived, that qualified you for the death that you died on behalf of sinners. And how I thank you that that death that you died qualifies me for that life that you lived, that I might stand before the Father righteous because of you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did for me, the shedding of your blood, making the payment, satisfying God on my behalf. Thank you. And I know there are others here tonight who share that same union with you by faith and trust in Christ. And I thank you that you have made that provision for them as well. Now as we partake of these elements of the bread and of the wine that remind us of you, Spirit of God, use them to, in a clear way, remind us of the Lord Jesus and impress upon our minds and hearts what he has done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.